NBC Radio News, David Rush reporting. President Ford is in excellent health. That word today from his personal physician, Rear Admiral William Lukacs. After a three-hour physical checkup at Bethesda Naval Hospital, Dr. Lukacs told reporters, Mr. Ford's health is normal, no problems were found.
He has maintained both his tremendous physical capacity for hard work and the determined discipline necessary to confront enormous responsibilities. As a matter of fact, I have no new changes recommended for him in his day-to-day living habits.
Dr. Lukacs said he has told President Ford, however, to play some golf or tennis when weather permits. The president himself said, I feel great. More news after this.
Hey, what you got there? It looks like tomato juice.
V8.
What you got there?
It's V8.
Looks like tomato juice.
It's V8.
Try it.
Yeah.
It sure doesn't taste like tomato juice.
You know, there's never been a better time for V8. And you may be surprised to know that when you buy the big 46-ounce can, a 6-ounce serving only costs about a dime. Think about it. 6 ounces of V8 for as little as 10 cents. So when you measure the great natural taste of those 8 garden vegetables, the many ways you serve it, and those few calories against the cost, you're really getting your money's worth. Why not pick up some V8 today?
A twin-engine private plane crashed into a radio tower in fog and rain today at American University in Washington. Firemen at the scene said burning wreckage fell into a vacant building and a parking lot on the university campus. They said at least 2 of the 6 people aboard the plane were killed. No injuries were reported on the ground. The FAA said the plane was on a flight from Columbus, Ohio to Washington. NBC's John Andrews in Beirut says Arab oil ministers have held a closed-door meeting in Algiers to prepare for a summit.
The theme of the meeting is to avoid a confrontation with the West. Algeria's foreign minister is accusing the West of blaming OPEC for all the ills of the world. But he's promised there'll be no oil embargo unless the West attacks an OPEC member. It looks as if there'll be a meeting of the OPEC heads of state in the next few weeks. The Algerians then want a conference of the producers, the consumers, and the developing nations. But some OPEC states, notably Iran, think this will be too unwieldy. They want just the producers and the consumers to meet.
In the occupied Gaza Strip, a grenade was thrown at Israeli soldiers. The grenade missed its mark, but the soldiers fired into the direction of the attack and wounded 2 Arab children. It was the first time violence has occurred in the Gaza Strip since last July. Ford Motor Company plans to lay off 22,000 more workers next week. That will raise to nearly 78,000 the number of Ford employees out of work and push the auto industry total to nearly 250,000. Informed sources in Belfast say leaders of the provisional wing of the IRA are close to a decision on whether to announce an indefinite ceasefire. You're listening to NBC News.
This is Early Thomas of the New York Jets. When I was growing up, getting the money together for 4 years of college was a hassle and a half. But today, you're in luck. Today, you don't need 4 years of college to have a college grad's career. All it takes is a year or two of technical education. Send for a free booklet called 25 Technical Careers. Write Careers, Washington, D.C., 20202.
A public service message of this station and the Advertising Council.
Senate Majority Leader Mansfield says there should be more consultation between the White House and Congress, warning that a confrontation between the two branches of government would be counterproductive. The Senate Democratic leader endorsed President Ford's efforts to explain his program to the people, but he said the president did not consult with leaders of Congress before submitting his economic and energy package. 11 of the 13-man crew perished when a British cargo ship sank in gale force winds about 25 miles off the southwest coast of England. Only the second mate and a steward survived. South Vietnamese helicopters ran into heavy communist ground fire when they tried to land troops on a strategic mountain overlooking Tay Ninh City. It was the third time government troops have been thwarted in their attempt to recapture the mountain. In Cambodia, another supply convoy is making its way up the Mekong River to Phnom Penh, but is being stalled by cannon and rocket fire. The Hour's lead story, President Ford undergoes 3-hour physical, pronounced in excellent health. David Rush, NBC News.
Big Wilson and the last hour of Monitor of Saturday forever, or eternity, whichever comes first. And we got some goodies for you, some of the behind-the-scenes goofs, some outtakes, and some golden oldies. Come on, Big, last day now. Some golden goldies, the top song of 1957.
Che un sogno così non ritorni mai più. Mi dipingevo le mani e la faccia di blu. Poi d'improvviso venivo dal vento rapito e incominciavo a volare nel cielo infinito. Di blu, felice di stare lassù, e volavo, volavo felice più in alto del sole ed ancora più su, mentre il mondo pian piano spariva lontano laggiù. Una musica dolce suonava soltanto per me. Di blu, felice di stare lassù, ma tutti i sogni nell'alba svaniscono perché quando tramonta la luna li porta con sé. Ma io continuo a sognare negli occhi tuoi belli, che sono blu come un cielo tra punto di stelle. Volare, oh, cantare, oh, nel blu degli occhi tuoi blu, felice di stare qua giù e continuo a volare felice più in alto del sole ed ancora più su.
Bonjour.
Mentre il mondo pian piano scompare negli occhi tuoi blu. La tua voce è una musica dolce che suona per me. Di stare qua giù nel blu degli occhi tuoi blu, felice di stare qua giù.
That's Domenico Modugno on monitor, and Nell Blue de Pinto de Blue. Would you like me to translate that for you? Certainly. Nell, of course, a Pinto, name of a horse. Horse of a different color. Okay, in our 20 years, monitor has aired thousands of interviews and reports, so I guess from everywhere in the world. What we feel was a high degree of efficiency, by the way. That wasn't always easy to achieve, and for the first time on our air, we take you behind the scenes. And we're going back to the time when our sports editor, Roy Silver, was taping a report from a stringer. A stringer is a freelance reporter, you know, getting a story for us, at a ski meet in Squaw Valley. We'll pick it up near the end of the report.
It was a terrific race. The weather was clear, and the people gave quite an ovation to Buddy Werner when he came in his last effort to unseat the champion.
Where's McClowes? Will you identify yourself and say you're now back to monitor and Radio Central?
All right. Ready? I'll take five. This is Kit Carson White, a ski reporter from San Francisco. I'd like to return you back to monitor in San Francisco.
Look, Kit, you say this. Your name is Kit Carson White?
Yes.
Would you please say, this is Kit Carson White in Squaw Valley, now back to monitor and Radio Central.
All right. This is Kit Carson White from Squaw Valley, now back to Radio Monitor.
Let's try it again. It's Monitor and Radio Central.
Monitoring in Radio Central. All right. This is Kit Carson White, Squaw Valley, and now back to Radio Monitor in Central.
Kit, let's try it slow this time, huh?
Let me write it down. There's some people.
It's Monitor and Radio Central.
Monitor and Radio Central. All right. This is Kit Carson White from Squaw Valley, and now back to Monitor and Radio Central.
And that was really his name, Kit Carson White. I must admit, we had to delete part of Roy's remarks there. Still a family show. More excerpts on the floor of the edit room to come in the minutes ahead. Boy, I think I can put that one on tape. I'm Big Wilson. We're all on the Monitor Beacon. And Kit Carson Wilson here. Digging back into our past monitor files, we were unable to locate the interview that Sean Connery, James Bond, you know, 007, he did that some years ago. As a substitute, we thought you might like to hear Shirley Bassey, whose numbers are 38, 24. What am I saying? They're no secret. This is the title of Bond's 1970 film.
Goldfinger. He's the man with the mind.
a cold finger beckons you to enter his web of sin. But don't go in. Golden words he will pour in your ear. Butterflies can't disguise what you feel.
Shirley Bassey with Goldfinger. Oh, that fine James Bond movie. Remember that? The girl all painted with gold? Remember that? Yeah. Sort of a guilt complex. Now, as promised, some excerpts from the Monitor editing room floor. We had a feature some years ago, voiced by a gentleman who shall remain nameless. Based on unusual historical facts, he did a fine job, except for one thing. He never could read right the first time, see? So there were a lot of edits. And finally, one day, for our own, not mine, I wasn't here then, private amusement, a number of these outtakes were strung together, absolutely at random. And we present them publicly on Monitor for the first time. All in the spirit of fun. If you're listening, you know who.
The captain ordered the canvas prepared. That night, the sailors spread it on deck. And the child was placed in it. Then it was folded over a body and sewn up ready for burial, and then sewn up ready for burial the next day. In 1683, she married King Louis XIV, and for the remaining 32 years of his reign, it was Francois who guided In 1683, she married King Louis XIV. And for the remaining 32 years of his reign, it was Francois who guided the destiny of France. I thought of modern atomic submarines and then of the Roman Empire and how they conquered Carthage, which we now know as Tunis. In the year 260 B.C., Cyrus Deulius was consul of Rome. In the year, he could hardly ask for his bodyguard before they had a chance to allot him another flute player and a torchbearer for being the conqueror of the Carthaginians. He told them that someday right where they were standing, he told them that someday right there where we... Soon afterward, John Hendricks died.
I don't know why they cut that. It sounded all right to me.
Up the rice in the church where a wedding has been. Lives in a dream, waits at the wedding. window, wearing the face that she keeps in a jar by the door. Who is it for? All the lonely people, where do they all come from? All the lonely people, where do they all belong? Father Mackenzie, writing the words of a sermon that no one will hear. No one comes near, look at him working, darning his socks in the night when there's nobody there. What does he care? All the lonely people, where do they all come from?
That's a kind of sad song to play on the last Saturday or the last mile here or whatever I'm walking. Oh, boy. That's Eleanor Rigby, sung by the Beatles. Very well. And nicely done. We've been doing a little reminiscing about the past glories. Cut that. Reminiscing about the past glories and occasional boo-boos of Monitor with as many of our former hosts or communicators as we've been able to locate. And although Peter Roberts, for business reasons, couldn't be with us today, he did leave these words with us.
I remember working with Frank Gallup. Frank Gallup was the announcer that you may recall with the deep booming voice, who had been heard on a number of soap operas and who had been heard with Milton Berle, not only on radio, but on television, too. Mr. Gallup came to us in a always rather formal way. He dressed for the occasion. We had a news correspondent in Ottawa. He had left NBC in New York and gone to Canada's capital to cover the arrival and subsequent tour of the Dominion of Queen Elizabeth and her husband, Prince Philip, of Britain. And this unnamed news correspondent kept calling in one particular Saturday. He kept saying, I've got an exclusive interview with Queen Elizabeth, an exclusive interview with Queen Elizabeth. And we kept repeating that our correspondent in Ottawa had an exclusive interview with Queen Elizabeth. I had been born and brought up in Canada, and I could say with authority that Queen Elizabeth was not giving out any exclusive interviews. But still, we highlighted the next 4 hours or 3 hours of Monitor, Frank Gallup and I, with a proclamation that we would be hearing the Queen of England exclusively. It was not until some time later that we tracked down this unnamed correspondent. He was out like a light in a telephone booth in Ottawa's Chateau Laurier Hotel. Too many interludes at the hotel pub. I'll tell you, that broke down Frank Gallup's formal appearance and formal presentation. It was good to be able to laugh, to kind of relieve the tension. And I think that was one of the great joys of Monitor in the time that I worked on the program, from about, as I say, its inception in about 1955 to about 1960.
Thank you. That's Peter Roberts. We're broadcasting now from a phone booth, in fact. You know, it's too bad Peter isn't here to do his famous laugh. He kind of bubbles. And then it gets going, you know. He used to break up Bob and Ray with it. And anybody else within hearing, too, I guess. Yeah. This is Carly Simon. You were so vain.
You walked into the party like you were walking onto a yacht. Your hat strategically dipped below one eye. Your scarf, it was Africa. You had one eye in the mirror as you watched yourself survive.
your partner, they be your partner, and you're so vain. You probably think this song is about you. You're so
Simon on monitor. We all know about whom that was written. No need for me to mention it now. All disc jockeys all across the country for years while they played that song told you about whom that song was written. I forget. Well, they're bringing in the Last Supper. Oh, no. We're having a little party here, having some cold cuts and things like that.
And having a marvelous time.
Fun. Somebody said, hey, that's a good idea for a radio show. I'm Big Wilson. More to come.
NBC Update. This is David Rush with an update report on the news. President Ford had his annual physical checkup today at Bethesda Naval Hospital outside Washington. His doctor said Mr. Ford is in better shape than a year ago. The oil ministers of the OPEC nations have agreed to hold a summit conference between mid-February and early March to prepare for talks with oil-importing nations. a twin-engine private plane crashed into a radio tower on the campus of American University in Washington this afternoon. Firemen say at least two of the six people reported aboard were killed. British Prime Minister Wilson is due in Washington Wednesday for a round of talks with President Ford, Secretary Kissinger, and other government officials. Sheikh Mujibur Rahman has scuttled parliamentary rule and assumed absolute power in Bangladesh. Ford Motor Company's plan to lay off 22,000 more employees next week will raise the number of jobless in the auto industry to nearly a quarter million. In Northern Ireland, provisional leaders of the IRA reportedly will announce an indefinite ceasefire on Monday. The third round of the Bing Crosby Pro-Am is underway at Pebble Beach, California, with Johnny Miller and Jack Nicklaus starting six strokes off the pace. The American League will open the 1975 baseball season April 7th with the California Angels, the home team for the first game. The Angels will host the Kansas City Royals. David Rush, NBC Update.
On Monitor, the final half hour of a Saturday Monitor ever. We'll have Jonathan Winters, Stiller and Mira, Art Buchwald, some of the goodies. And this is Tony Orlando and Dawn. Remember this song?
I'm coming home after my time. Now I've got to know what is and isn't mine. If you
my letter telling you I'd soon be free. Then you'll know just what to do if you still want me. If you still want me. We'll tie a ribbon around the old rosary. It's been three long years. Do you still want me? If I don't see a ribbon around the old tree, I'll stay on the bus, forget about us, put the blame on me. If I don't see a yellow ribbon around the old tree. Bus driver, please look for me, 'cause I couldn't bear to see what I might see. I'm really still in prison in my lovely home key. A simple yellow ribbon's what I need, set me free. I wrote and told her please. Oh, tie a yellow ribbon around the old rosary. It's been three long years. Do you still want me? If I don't see a ribbon around the old rosary, I'll stay on the bus, forget about her, put the blame on me. If I don't see a yellow ribbon around the old rosary.
Talking to some of the great people who were on it or hosts of it or had contributions to it. And on the monitor line now is Jonathan Winters. Hey, Jonathan.
How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. It's nice to talk with you. Well, you know that monitor's going off the air, and you were certainly a contributor to it.
Well, I'm sorry to hear it's going off the air. It was a great program and certainly brought a lot of people a lot of joy over the years.
I wonder how Maudie might feel about its going off.
Well, Maudie's here. Just a minute.
Oh, nice. Good.
Oh, I can begin to tell you the sorrow that set in when our family heard that NBC Monitor was going off. You know, we never did get around to watching TV. We've always had the cabinet, but we never had the parts or the glass, and what we did was just set our old radio right in there. We just always listened to everything that the monitor ever said. And I tell you, it was tragic. The only other thing was losing our dog, Spiffy. Spiffy was, when we lost the dog, and then that was a great joke, and then to lose monitor, I tell you, I've had a small cardiac arrest over it.
Well, I'm terribly sorry to hear about Spiffy, too, Marty. Is Elwood there by any chance?
Oh, yes. He was chopping wood, and he's been getting the chickens fed. Wait a minute. I'll get a hold. Come in, Elwood.
All right.
Hi. Yes, Elwood B. Suggins. Well, like Mark said, it was a real jolt to us to lose NBC Monitor. I grew up with radio, of course. And,
of course.
To listen to the sports and the news and everything. I don't know what I'll do now. I guess, I tell you, like Maude, it was a jolt to her. I may just go over to VA and turn in over there and put on a terry cloth robe and just hole up and never come out.
Well, I don't want you to do that, Elwood. Life goes on, you know.
Well, I suppose it does, but I tell you, I'm so depressed. Christmas, I didn't get the gifts I wanted, and now to hear this news, it's just drove me almost to drink.
And of course, Spiffy.
Well, Spiffy, yeah, Spiffy's passing. Of course, Spiffy was 36 years old.
I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah, what we've did is we've stuffed Spiffy and put real good eyes in the dog, glass eyes, and we've got Spiffy out front now, and he looks real good, I mean, considering he's stuffed.
Well, I've heard a lot of people say Monitor ought to be stuffed.
Well, I don't know. I tell you, I think I'm going to miss it. I really am.
Well, is Tick Bigford there? Vic?
Oh, yeah. Wait a minute. Well, I must say that this is some tragic news. I guess everyone's used the various cliches about saying goodbye to NBC Monitor Radio. But
yes. Oh, you're terribly rich, aren't you, Tick?
Well, I suppose so. I've really never known my complete wealth. Of course, after Mr. Rockefeller disclosed his wealth, I mean, I was really a jolt to me to hear this man is only worth about $60 million. Good Lord, I've always had that in ready cash around the house.
We were wondering maybe you'd like to buy Monitor and start again.
Well, you know, I might very well do that. I've certainly been, I think, very honestly, a humanitarian. It might be a very good thing for me to do is to buy NBC Monitor. I've always wanted an expensive plaything where I could be heard across the country.
Well, this would be, probably $500,000, but we need about $100 cash.
You need about $100 cash?
Yeah.
Well, I tell you, my chauffeur, who's, he's always got some ready cash. I've known him to roll some of the members of the family from time to time, and I think he's got at least 100.
All right, Dick, thank you very much. Is Jonathan still there?
Yes. Hi, how are you?
Oh, Jonathan, thank you. All the people at your house have been so nice. We thank you again for, again, contributing to Monitor.
Well, again, I'm sorry to see Monitor go. Perhaps somewhere along the line it'll come back.
Thank you very much. Jonathan Winters, thank you.
Thank you, Big.
Oh, what a great guy. All right. Well, now, let's see. We're not really for sale. We're just going to sit around, John Bartholomew Tucker and I, Big Wilson. Today is the last day of Saturdays, and tomorrow the last day of Sundays. But hang with us, would you? Only, 17 minutes to go for this hour, for this Saturday segment, here on the Monitor Beacon. And on this last weekend, let's go traveling with Monitor.
Our last train ride.
On the Marrakesh Express.
That's not even in this country, is it?
Looking at the world with the sunset in your eyes. Traveling the trains to slim a rockin' sky. And butts and figs and chickens crawl. Animal crossed wall to wall. American made is 5 foot tall. Sweeping cobwebs from the edges of my mind. Had to get away to see what we could find. Hope the days would fly ahead. Bring us back to where they've led. Listen up to what they said to you.
Don't you know we're riding on the Marrakesh Express? Don't you know we're riding on the Marrakesh Express? They're taking me to Marrakesh. All on board. All on board the train.
smoke rings from the corners of my mouth. Something hanging in the air. Charming cobras in the square. Strike your leathers, we can wear at home. Well, let me hear you now. Did you know we're riding on the Marrakesh Express? Did you know we're riding on the Marrakesh Express? They're taking me to Marrakesh. Did you know we're riding on the Marrakesh Express? Did you know we're riding on the Marrakesh Express? They're taking me to Marrakesh. All on board the train.
Up on Monitor from the days gone by is an author and a world syndicated columnist, Art Buchwald. Mr. Buchwald, how are you?
I'm just fine.
Yeah, you're sure one of my favorites, you know that?
Well, thanks very much. Sorry to hear that Monitor's going off the air.
Well, you were one of the contributors to it.
I was one of the originals.
That's right, you were. Were you the Paris correspondent or something?
I can claim to have been on the original staff. They gave me a tape machine, and they let me go wild in Paris and London and anywhere I traveled. And it was, most of the things I did was on the scene. I did interviews with cooks and chefs and all those celebrities who used to come over, and I went to Hyde Park and taped some of those speeches, and it was kind of fun. And I think they paid me $75 for the show or something.
Well, it's gone down since then.
Has it?
Yeah.
It figures. I never heard the show, by the way, because I did it always from Paris or from Europe.
That's funny. All those things that you contributed, you never heard on the air.
I never heard it, no. And then I went to the Soviet Union, and I did some, I remember, I drove from Paris to Moscow in a Chrysler Imperial with a friend of mine named Peter Stone, who wrote 1776. At that time, he didn't write anything. So we took this Chrysler Imperial with a chauffeur, and we drove to Moscow. And anybody that spoke English, I would interview. And it was, I guess they were pretty good. They didn't complain about them.
I'm sure they were. Yeah. Do you think Monitor had any influence on what you did after that?
No. I did it because it was an adjunct of what I was doing for my work, but I would never think of going into radio for a living or anything. You know, $75 a week in those days in Paris was a lot of money.
Get in a lot of trouble with $75.
You could eat a lot of oysters and a lot of good Coco Van in Paris for $75, you know.
Well, I'm sure everybody listening to Monitor enjoys what you're doing now. Just keep it up for us, would you?
Well, thanks a lot. I'm sorry to see it pass. I think radio should come back, and the heck with television. I think radio was the best part of our lives.
Thank you very much, Art. Appreciate it. That's Art Buchwald, one of the original staff of Monitor. And let's see. I got one of the. Thank you, Art. One of the funnier bits of music that we played on Monitor over the years, I think, includes takeoffs on the music from the rock era onward. You know, it's Ray Stevens and the Moonlight Special.
It's the Moonlight Special coming on TV. Yeah, the Moonlight Special. Late night, out of sight, rock and roll music for you and me. Now here's your host from the coast. Sound like a frog doing a monologue. It's the sheepdog.
Yeah, baby, that's the sheepdog. Sheepdog, sheepdog. Oh, 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 oh. All right, crazy, too cool, out of sight, right on that far out. Yeah, join my flock here for the next half hour. Fantastic, type this out on the moon. Say, Fender, yeah, dig it. What a show we got for you tonight, gang. And here to get things rolling is the fabulous Mildred, Queen, and Dip.
Yeah. I love you.
Yes, I do.
Yes, I do.
I really do.
Really do.
TV. TV. In a rock and roll piano.
We're bringing back today for a little conversation some of the great hosts of Monitor, and two of the finest in any area you want to mention, and they did a fantastic special here on this NBC radio network, Ann Mira and Jerry Stiller.
Oh, Jerry Stiller and Ann Mira.
And all those people. It's nice to have you.
It's all right. It's the same family.
We are wonderful people.
Big.
And happy to be on Monitor for
Jerry.
The last time.
Big, do you remember when Monitor went down to Washington when President Johnson was around and leading our country? There was a summer show dealing with kids, and you were emceeing it down there.
These were college kids who were working in government for the summertime.
That's right. That was one of the most memorable times I think that I could ever recall. And Monitor was in on that. Monitor sponsored it. And it was a great day. That was the day that I think President Johnson picked up the dog by the two ears. And we were there first.
That might have been, and I danced with the lovely Linda Bird, baby.
That's right.
I had Gunist. Nothing happened for me. Nobody picked me up by the ears that danced with me down there.
Didn't the private Secret Service man dance with you?
That was, yes, it was Jim. Yes, yes, Annie. Yes, though. He was your cousin.
That's right.
You know, I'll be out of work, you know.
Well, you can sleep with us. I mean, on the couch.
I think I understand what you mean. Well, you did a grand special, didn't you, over the great radio network?
Over the great radio network, that's right. My darling Jerry and me.
We got all our friends on that week. Everyone we owed a debt to. Some form or shape. We got their music played. We did all the terrible things you're not supposed to do, only because we're their fans.
In case anybody doesn't know, I'm talking with Stiller and Mira. Jerry, you're working in New York.
I'm in a play called The Ritz.
And it's a fabulous play.
I'm sure it is. Ann, what are you doing?
I'm just a homemaker and a mother, Big, and I'm going to the supermarket, checking the dry cleaners.
Oh, Annie.
And just eating my curds and whey, you know.
I can tell you one thing, though.
No, I did a Tony Orlando and Dawn show in California.
Oh, great.
And I go and watch Jerry every night.
Tell us about that great special that you did. What did you do, though, here on Monitor?
Oh, we were terrific. We were like, it was Hire the Handicapped Week. I don't know what we were doing. It was all Charlie Garman's fault, the whole thing.
We got to talk to people we always wanted to talk to. I always wanted to meet Gene Shalit to know what he was really like. And we with Gene.
And Ed McMahon.
Ed McMahon was very, very down to earth and talked about his beginnings on the boardwalk at Atlantic City. And
he was a pitch man, wasn't he?
That's right.
That's
he
right.
He sold can openers or something.
Yeah.
Yes.
I don't know what something that was hard to sell, but he sold a lot of them.
Well, as you mentioned before, Jerry, it's kind of the end of an era, but as you say, everything changes.
Well, it's for the better.
Why do you think it's for the better if they're going off the air?
Well,
what do you mean by that?
They don't deserve us, that's why.
Yeah, but it's the Monitor that should...
I think that it's going to come back like everything else that cycles, and I think if they want to see what it's like without, you know, they took a lot of shows off the air, and then they always found out that when things went away, that there was nothing better to replace it. Now, I'm not talking about an NBC show now, I'm talking about the Ed Sullivan show. Is anything better on at that hour, Sunday night at 8 o'clock?
I sure haven't seen it.
Okay.
No.
So what they're missing is great conversation, fantastically interesting and unique types of interplay between people, and something that had to do with the stimulation of the mind. If they want to make fools of themselves and just listen to that crazy music all the time and get...
Well, there's enough of that on already.
Then let them. They deserve it.
I'm going to miss it because my erogenous zone is between my ears. You know? And a lot of people's is.
Well, I think you're both very stimulating. I've enjoyed talking with you. For the final time on Monitor, I wish you both success. Thank you.
Thank you, Big.
You too, Big.
Listen, we're going to miss you, old Big Wilson, you old chubby thing. We're going to miss Monitor. We're going to miss the whole wonderful idea of people communicating.
Never brought to mind.
Could I have a little more Blue Nun?
She's the one in the black pedal pushes.
Wait and be forgot, and days of all lines are.
That's Stiller and Mira on Monitor. Thank you both.
Thank you,
Big.
Bye-bye. A couple of fine folks. Jerry Stiller and Ann Mira. Now, we've just got about a minute left to play with, haven't we? Okay. I got a whole bunch of the Monitor gang, the staff, writers, and producers, and associates, and everything. Would you all stand up, please, and march with me around the breakfast table? whatever the heck we do. That's the bagpiper. He's usually a little bit bagged, anyway. Some kind of sad about the pipes, isn't it? Well, in the great old monitor tradition, I'm Big Wilson, John Bartholomew Tucker, and I, your hosts, each weekend until this weekend. This is the last of the Saturday shows, and I've enjoyed it. I enjoyed being with you, and I know John did, too. We all thank you very much. I hope we can all get together tomorrow, too, okay? I'll be here at the same old stand. We'll have some more of the great old monitor hosts, too, to sit here and talk to you about the good old days. As I started to say, in the great old monitor tradition of the unusual being usual, we leave you with the final word. Hello?